Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Everything I need, Lord, you provided. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord, for he is truly worthy to be praised. Bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. Oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. As the Bible declared, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Wherever you are, wherever you may be, wherever you're, whatever you're doing, you are entering now into the gates of God. So give him what's due unto him and bless his name. The Bible said, oh, bless the Lord with me and is magnify his name together. Let us exalt his name together, because he alone is worthy to be praised. He alone is worthy to be praised. So many times we come into a place and we want and we expect the same normalcy that we always have seen and heard and done. But God is doing a new thing. He even declared in the book of Isaiah, behold, I will do a new thing. Shall it spring forth and ye not know it? God is doing a new thing. Even with mental and love notes 101, God is doing a new thing. And I yield to Holy Spirit even as the new thing has been birthed. Even as the new way has been birthed. God knows best. God knows all. And I'm grateful and I acknowledge that he is the creator of all mankind. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You can't enter a place that you can't even open your mouth and give him a wave, a simple wave, offering a wave in your arms. Begin to wave and just say, Lord, I thank you. And if you can't do that, just begin to rock yourself. And Lord, I thank you for even my body that you are taking complete control. God, we thank you. We're going to allow it, even if we can't open our mouth, the fruit of our lips to give you what's due unto you with nothing but simple, a grateful heart of singing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for hiding us in your pavilion. Father, we say thank you. We say thank you. For you are good, and your mercies endure forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you may be around the globe, thank you for tuning in to Mental and Love Notes 101. This is your girl, Prophetess CL Suggs. I thank God for the gift. I thank God for the worship. I thank God for the praise, because we as creations have been born and we have been, it's our innate ability to worship our King. It's our innate ability to praise our God. That's why Psalms begin to tell us, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord, because it's due unto him. With a heart of appreciation. With a heart of appreciation. Maybe God hasn't done anything for you, then you don't worry about praising him. But for those who know that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we would be somewhere sleeping in our grave.
And if you have it all together, then give God a praise before your neighbor. Give God a praise for your niece. Give God a praise for your nephew. Give God a praise for your sibling. Give God a praise for your spouse. If you got it all together, then give God. You should have enough in you to give God a praise for somebody else. Don't be selfish. Sow the seed of sharing. Sow the seed of sharing. I never want to be in a place to think I have it all together. But I say, as Paul said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Not that I have apprehended, but I push and press forward for those things that are before me. Forgetting those things that are behind me. Hey, God. The power of your name. You lift me up. Yes, God. You lift me up. It's only because of his strength. Thank you, Jesus. Strength like no other. That begin to lift us up. You lift us up, Father. It was love that lifted me. I'm so thankful that it was God's love that lifted you. Because in spite of what we go through, it's still love that lifts us. And no matter what we go through, how we go through it, and the type of way that we're feeling in the midst of going through, it is still love that lifts each one of us who are born again believers of God. So we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in the fact that God said, I will lift you up. Romans 8:18 said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19 reads, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For every creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But what hope is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. And even in the midst of being released from the spirit of bondage and come over to the salvation part of Jesus Christ, who no man can see the Father except they first come through Jesus. He said, you receive the spirit of adoption. So since you received the spirit of adoption, you can say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit, which bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God, not no longer an orphan spirit, but we are the sons of the living God. See, a lot of time people want to preach to you and teach to you and prophesy to you, and they still don't even have a clue who you are and what you do. But when you identify that I am a son of the living God, that does not even matter. My identification is not wrapped up in the call. My identification is not wrapped up in the sermon. My identification is wrapped up in what's written, that God said, I am a son of the living God. We are sons who have been birthed and born from the Creator Himself. That we accept His Son being the way, the truth, and the life that we need to get to the Father. And he said, not only just the children, if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Paul is reminding us that a victorious life in the spirit is no easy path. No one said it would be easy, but it is worth it. Jesus suffered, and we who follow him will also suffer as well. The suffering is considered a suffering with him. 2 Timothy, even you can read that in 2 Timothy 2 also. But as consequences of our relationship to God as his children, our identification with Christ, our witness for him, and our refusal to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we are children of the Most High. But 18 said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All the suffering of this present time, this present age, the suffering of sickness, the suffering of pain, the suffering of misery, the suffering of disappointment, the suffering of poverty, the suffering of mistreatment, the suffering of sorrow, the suffering of persecution and trials and trouble, any kind, must be considered insignificant when compared with the blessings, when compared with the privilege, and compared to the glory that will be given to the faithful believers in the age to come. I'm so thankful for Isaiah 60 and 1. It said, arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Us, the believer, who realize even in the pain that I'm suffering behind the name of Jesus Christ, I don't suffer amiss. I don't suffer just because it has weight to it. It has weight to it. It had weight to it. I'm so thankful it has weight to it. For he said, for I reckon that the present time is not worthy to compare it, that will be revealed into us. One translation said, I considered that. Consider, I reckon, I counted, I charged with, I reasoned, I decided, I concluded that this does not even compare to what God is getting ready to do. The mention of suffering and of glory recalled the apostle to a sense of his own position, what he had to go through, and what was the hope that he had to used to encourage him. Because so many times we look for other people to encourage us. So many times we look for other people to give us that unction that, you know, that we feel good about ourselves. But Holy Spirit said, I am the one who give you the unction to function. You don't have to do anything. You, Holy Spirit, be the encourager that you need. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Yes, we all go through a stormy life in one period or the other. but counted as nothing as compared to the triumphant outlook into the future. Because God has greater things. He said it shall be revealed in us. Revealed in us. Reaching to us. Illuminating and transfiguring in us. The coming of Christ is always conceived as a visible manifestation of glory in those who take part in it. In us. Those who are willing to go all the way with the Lord. Those who are willing to say, God, I am going all the way with you. Not part way, God, but and not going, starting and then stopping and going back. Starting and stopping and going back. No. God said, who's willing to go all the way? Go through the fire. So you can come out on the other side. Go through the through. But a lot of times people don't want to go through the through because they sit, but they like to feel the attention in the middle. I can't go on. I don't feel like I can go on. I want to have that cry, but God said go all the way. Can you go all the way with the Lord? Will you go all the way with the Lord? Make that your declaration. God, I'm going all the way with you. God, matter of fact, Abba, for you who are born again of his spirit, Abba, I am going all the way with you. No turning back. No turning back. I made up my mind that I'm going all the way. Because that's a mind check. That is a mind check. Because if you don't have your mind renewed that you are going all the way, guess what? You're going to continue to do the back and forth thing that the enemy likes. Make you feel like you got to start all over again. No, go all the way. Go through the through. Go through the through. Go through the fire. Go through the rain. Go through hell and high water. Go through it. Go through the storm. Go through the storm. Go through the storm. Stop stopping. Doing too much stopping. Stopping is not getting you anywhere. Go through it. That's what God wants us to do. Go through it. I had a friend of mine who shared this with me, and when just seeing and reading this scripture, it brought me back to that place of what she's saying. The title was Keep Driving. A young woman was driving with her father and they ran into a storm. The young woman asked her father, "What should I do?" Her father told her, "Keep driving." The cars began to edge. The storm was getting worse. The wind was boisterous and she asked again, "What should I do, Dad?" "Keep driving," replied her father. Up ahead, a trailer was pulling up as well, looking like it could not go on and some was stopping. And she looked over at her dad and said, "Dad, should I stop? It's terrible and everyone is stopping." Her father said, "No, keep driving." Now the storm was stronger. But she obeyed her father. Yeah, God, that's a revelation right there. The storm was stronger, but she obeyed her father. And soon she could see a clearing ahead. After a couple of kilometers, she was again in a quiet, calm, and sunny area. Her father told her, "Now you can stop and go out." She said, "But why now?" He told her, "When you go out, look back. Not go back, but look back. Because sometimes we need to reference where we just come from and what we just come out of. Not go back, but look back. All the people who surrendered are still in the storm. But you did not give up. And your storm is behind you. If you are going through hard times, remember, even if everyone else, even if the strongest stops and give up, you keep going. Because soon your storm will end and the sun will shine on you again. I know it looks hard. I know it looks easy to turn back. I know. I've been there, done that. Wrote several books about it. But you cannot stop. You have to keep going. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. This expression and the idea is of Christ appearing in glory and shedding his glory on us. One part said, for the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waited for the revelation of the sons of God. God's sons, who's been born of his spirit, will be revealed as being such and glorified. So everybody wants God's glory, but nobody wants to go through the suffering. Hey, God from Zion. New Testament denotes what has been created. Mankind has been created. You and I have been created. Children of the living God. The whole visible creation, the world of man, will see God in his glory through his sons. We are to give God praise at all times. We have to stop stopping and starting. That back and forth, still after a while, you're going to make yourself sick. The whole creation is concluded, the animal creation too. We're going to share in the glory of Jesus Christ. So don't get weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Don't get weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Nothing is going to be able to compare to God's glory. This is only a light affliction. This is only a light affliction. A light affliction. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17 said, for our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are temporal, seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's something that what 2 Corinthians 4 and Romans 8 kind of declared the same thing. For if you wait to look for and you hope for what you see, then you don't really have hope. But hope is what I don't see. I'll patiently wait for it. You're only in a light affliction. And even when you think it's overcoming, even when you think, oh God, it's overwhelming, I'm perplexed, I'm frustrated, I'm this, I'm that, but it's a light affliction. You are now focused more on the earthly pain than the glory pain. Lord, help me, Jesus. You are so consumed with the earthly pain rather than the glory pain. The earthly pain, you're going to continue to feel. You're going to continue to be frustrated. You're going to continue to be agitated. You're going to continue to be all those things that you just mentioned, or even you're thinking or feeling. Why? Because you are now stuck in the moment of earthly pain rather than the glory pain. Because in the glory pain, reading the scripture, it says it's only a light affliction, but for a moment. We know time is not even nothing compared to God. He said for a day is like 1,000 years to him. So it's only for a moment. So if you're so stuck in the earthly part of the pain, it's because you're not diving into the word of God to get the glory pain. Because let me tell you something, even as a mother, even as one who have given birth several times, the pain of the contractions come, the pain hurts, the pain of pushing it, all that hurts, even carrying the child, that's pain. But the glory pain behind it is that now I have what God promised me in my arms. I have my son. I have my daughter in my arms that God promised me. There have been so many that have went through the process of pushing and contractions and all the pain, the earthly pain, and then they don't even have the promise in their hands. But I pray for you who have suffered in such, that you find the root cause of what may have caused this. Begin to dive into the book of Holy Spirit. We dive into the word of God and into inquire of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is there any known sins in my life that may have caused this? Yeah, everybody is doing some of the same things, but what has caused me this great pain? Glory pain. God, let me hold. Let me nurture. Let me be able to identify with the earth pain that I went through. Now I can have the glory pain of seeing what you promised me. Because the enemy is not going to play fair. He's going to come with every kind of fiery darts he can. He's going to come with every trial and tribulation. He's going to come with every pain. He's going to come with every discouragement. He's going to come with every discomfort. But in the midst of all that comes and all that goes, we can stand sure and on the foundation of God. And if your foundation is not sure and you can stand surely and securely on the foundation of God, that's mean because you are not in his word as you ought to be. Acknowledge Holy Spirit even in your devotion. What do I need to hear? What do I need to study? What do you need to tell me? How do I need to change? Because that's part of transformation when I change. Many are in the house of the Lord, but they're not of the house of the Lord. Many are in as a tradition and religion ritual, but they're not of God. And God is starting to expose those that's really not his. Matthew 13 talks about the tares and the wheat. But we get so happy and they let the tare and wheat grow together. But then they also are part that say until harvest. Until harvest. The end times. The end of age. Until God is getting ready to do the separating. Either we're going to serve God wholeheartedly, or we're going to serve God fingently, which is just pretending to love him. But that pretending is running out. Give God your whole heart. Give God your yes. Give God your amen. Give God your all the way. God, I am going all the way. Stop stopping when you get frustrated. Stop stopping when you get agitated. I can't take this no more. Stop. Stop. Go forward. Press forward. Pressing is not an easy thing, but press forward. That's what God called us to do, to press forward in the things of him. Who said this will be easy? Who said that you're going to skip on to the promised land? No, because as long as you have an adversary, he's going to do everything he can to sift you like wheat. Because he can't stand you. And anytime I can get them to fall and disobey what God said, he's going to do just that. I thank God for his word to keep us, to lead us, to guide us, to forever be with us. Because as long as we have Holy Spirit living in the inside of us, Holy Spirit is forever with us. That's why with assurance we can say God will never leave us nor forsake us. Why? Because he lives within us. The Bible declares, if you abide in me and I abide in you, whatever you ask, it shall be given. If you lack wisdom, God said, ask it. It shall be given. It shall be given. If you lack knowledge, ask. If you lack understanding, ask. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. That's the word of the Lord. God's word is true right by itself. And the same way I shared with the people of God on Sunday when God delivered the word, you're going to have the wheat and the tare in the same temple. You're going to have those that look like they are of God, but really of the enemy. Even when when they begin to say, "Well, you sowed a good seed in this. Why, how did the tare come?" And he said, "It was an enemy that done this. The enemy will put the tares in the midst of the wheat just to see how I can get through. It looks like it looks the par. It acts the par, but there's some immaturity there that has been seen, and that's how you can be able to discern." And I begin to ask Holy Spirit. I said, "Holy Spirit, if you are the one who knows all and is be able to tell all, I said, why haven't the people of God understand what the tare and what a tare is, and how can they can be able to decipher a tare?" And Holy Spirit said, "You can." A T-A-R-E, tare, only had one mission, and that is to T-E-A-R, tear up the ministry. A tear assignment is to tear up the ministry. And if I can tear up the ministry, I have accomplished my assignment. But woe unto you who have tried to do that. Because God said, even in that same chapter, Matthew 13, that you, the tare, are going to be the first to be burned. The first to be burned. Because you have a lot of people that think it's everybody else. Everybody else is the problem. Everybody else is the issue. It ain't me, it's you. You're the one got the problem. You're the one got the issue. And that self-deliverance, it means you no good. Self-deliverance doesn't you do any good. That's what God tells us, to be around a community of like-minded people, because the community can help us understand, no, you're not right. And that's why the Bible began to tell us, if you be judges of your own self, you will have no need of judge, because people will refuse to judge themselves. Now the brother and sister have to judge them. The brother and sister have to tell them, no, that ain't right what you just said, and that ain't right what you just done. And because I don't want my brother and sister to expose me, I begin to just shut up, and then I try to shut them up for moving forward, because I don't want nobody else to see my mess. Then we get mad at the brother and sister because they begin to do what God called them to do. But if you judge yourself, and people say, we don't supposed to judge nobody, but see, as believers, God said, I give you a discernment, and also discernment of spirits. Discernment just means you're supposed to judge righteously, judge well, from what is already written in scripture. Know them that labor among you. Know the fruit by which it bear. You're not judging, but you are discerning what God is calling you to discern. You're discerning those spirits, if it is the spirit of God or if it is the spirit of Satan. Because let me tell you something. The same way God has his holy doctrine, the enemy also have this, the devil's doctrine. The same way we have mustard seeds, the enemy has his black seeds. The Philistines use those. How can I get this to be a Satan thing? Satan does everything he try to do to be emulate God's kingdom, even down to the people. You got people, some of them that's speaking in tongues, but it may not be the unknown tongues that God, Holy Spirit has birthed in them. And the thing about a tear, which is also another name for darnel, that a tear is very toxic. And it's a noxious weed. So that means that you wonder why you start to feel sick in a sanctuary. You wonder why you start to feel sick in the presence of certain people. You wonder why you start to feel nauseous. Because if it's consumed too much, you want to either... It tells us in Oxford Dictionary, if you consume too much tear and darnel, you're going to be sick. You're going to be nauseous. You either going to sometimes have diarrhea, and to the point it could be detrimental. What you're feeling is something that is not of God. It's a tear among you. And even though we like to quote 2 Chronicles, if my people, but then in that part at the end, we say in the land. No, it ain't the land. It said their land. So it's the individualized land. What has you caused? What have you caused to be polluted on your land? What have you called? What have you allowed other people to come in and put in your land? They're making it a landfill. What have people have steadily come telling you stuff that is not of God, that just get you all bogged down? Why are you allowing it to come into your ear gates? God said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, not what people are saying. People have you all over the place. Everybody doesn't mean you any good. But you have to be the one to identify that. Holy Spirit will allow you to decipher and discern that, but you have to be willing to let Holy Spirit give you that and stop thinking everybody's your friend. Stop thinking everybody your sister and your brother. Some of them is willing to come and bring you down. Recognize it and then expose it. Jeremiah 2 in the Message Bible said, what an impressive start you made to get most out of life. You founded schools of sin. You taught graduate courses in evil. And now you're sending out graduates resplendent in cap and gown. Except the gowns are stained with the blood of your victims. All that blood convicts you. You cut and hurt a lot of people to get where you are. And yet you have the nerve to say, I've done nothing wrong. God doesn't mind. He hasn't punished me, has he? Don't look now. But judgment is on the way. Don't look now. But judgment is on the way. Aim at you who say, I've done nothing wrong. People that have continued to try to bring the children of God down, don't look now. But judgment is on the way. Thinking that you haven't done nothing wrong, but everybody else has done wrong. Judgment is on the way. God is tired and past tired of those who have stayed in leadership positions, those who have had all the accolades and prestige, and you stood into the high heavens to make everybody else look like they're going to hell, but then you are the one causing hell in the sanctuary. He said, don't look now, but judgment is on the way. If repentance is not your portion, judgment is soon to find you. Don't always think that you're right, but be humble. God is at I. Because I promise, when you begin to ask Father, is it I? He begin to show you you. He will show you you. God is not going to show you anybody else. And yeah, you may be prophetic, you may be anointed, you may be appointed, but God is going to first, you're going to be the first partaker that God show you you. And if God is not showing you you, maybe you're not listening to the voice of the living God. The suffering of this present time, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in each one of us. Allow God to do what he needs to do in your life. Allow him to cleanse you where you need to be cleansed. Allow him to purge you where you need to be purged. Allow him to prune you where you need to be pruned, that he can pull you closer to his glory. That you will be one of the ones to arise and shine. God is doing a good work, and it's starting with the believers who say they love the Lord. Change is evidence to be proven that I'm not who I used to be, but thank God I'm not. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. It may not be who I want to be right now, because God is still working on me, but I'm not who I used to be back then. Back then, you still are thinking I went to public school. You would probably thought I went to cursing school. Cursed somebody out and didn't care how you felt about it. But I'm so thankful to God for the change that has overcome me. That I used to do, I do no more. If that's your testimony, be thankful for the change. Continue to change, to be the change agent that God needs in the earth realm. God loves you, and so do I. I pray peace and blessings upon you, that God will continue to surround you with his glory like a shield. Continue to stay humble, continue to stay hungry in his presence, and watch God do the miraculous in your life. This is your girl, Prophetess CL Suz. I pray God will continue to rain down blessings under the open heaven. This is Mental and Love Notes 101. God bless you.